Good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of the day you're listening to this podcast at. It is the Opinions Matter podcast with Jeremy and Katie today. Say hello, Katie.
Hello, Katie.
Now, if you're listening to the last couple of episodes, it was just me on my own, but Katie is back. She's back out of hospital. She's fighting fit and ready to go, and I'm sure she will have a strong opinion on what we're about to talk about on today's podcast. Now, if it's your first time coming across this podcast, you're very welcome along. It's called Opinions Matter with Adrian and Jeremy sometimes, with Jeremy and Katie sometimes, and with Adrian and Katie sometimes. We're kind of a truple. Is that what it's called?
Trouble with either of you. Sorry, hon. Sorry. I'm sorry. You can get that out of your head. I will never be in any kind of sexual relationship with you.
No, so, I just said it's a show with
it's
three
trouble
people.
Trouble is a sexual thing.
Oh,
no.
Okay, but there's no.
There's no.
Just stop you there. There's no. Anyway, if you have come across it for the first time, you're very welcome along. And don't forget, I normally say this at the end of the podcast, but I'll say it at the start for a change. Don't forget, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can just click the bell on Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and you'll get a notification every time we publish an episode. And did you know, Katie, how many episodes of Opinions Matter would you say we've done so far?
A million.
A million?
Have we done a million?
Yeah, we've done a million. No, how many would you say?
About, 352 by 4? It's like 1,000, isn't it? But, no, what's 352 by 4? It's about 2...
Jesus, just have a guess. How many episodes?
About 40,000.
40,000.
Is that way off?
That's way off.
Okay, less or more?
Oh, I don't actually have the figure. I thought I had the figure.
But if you do 5 days a week, how many weeks are in the year? Like 52 or something?
Yeah. So how many episodes is it?
What's 5 by 52 by 4?
5 by 52. Oh, God almighty. I'm sorry I asked the question.
By 4. Oh, that's not... We've only done 1,000 episodes.
Actually, I can just find out here how many episodes we've done. Bear with for a second. Because there's a point to this, guys, which I will come to in a moment. We have done... Oh, can I not find out how... Oh, I can't find out. Oh, 1,221.
Is that all?
That's a lot.
That's not as much as I thought.
Yeah, so if you are only finding this podcast, there is a back catalogue of over 1,200 episodes of Opinions Matter, all about mad different topics, and like any topic you can think of, we have covered on this podcast. So if you're new to us, or if you've just come across us in the last couple of weeks, listen to the back catalogue. I don't know where you'd find the time to 1,200.
Ah, there's a lot of people with nothing better to do than listen to us.
Jeez, so. I'm happy for them.
Oh yeah, sorry, we need those people.
Oh my God, sorry. Don't be slagging them off. Anyway, 1,200 different episodes. Now, what do we want to talk about on today's podcast? A lot of the times, the topics we discuss are raised by listeners, aren't they? We ask listeners to bring them up. And sometimes it's about things that we come across in our lives and we want to share them with you, because it's our podcast and if we feel stuff is worth talking about, we will cover it. And what I witnessed yesterday evening in a very well-known discount supermarket in... Well, it's South County Dublin, not far from where I live. So I went, I had to get some shopping, and it was about, I'd say, 7:30 last night. And myself and my wife and the kids all jumped into the car and went down to this German retailing shop.
Who takes the whole family to do their weekly shop?
Oh, we just did. It was just too much hassle to not to. Anyway, we were in the shop and doing our shopping, and I was going up the middle aisle just looking at things, and... Beside me, there was a woman there with her young daughter. Now, the daughter was about 4 years of age. Mm. The reason I know that, she's about the same age as my daughter, my youngest. And she was there with her daughter. And I want you to paint this picture in your mind, guys, because this is exactly what I witnessed. She was there with her daughter, and she was absolutely strung out of her head. Absolutely strung out of her head. She couldn't string a sentence together. She was falling all over the place. And it wasn't drink. I'm in this game long enough to know... When it's drugs, and she had that look about her that she was on drugs.
That's sad.
I stood there for a few minutes, being nosy, by the way, and looking at what was going on. And the child was asking her different things, and she couldn't even answer. She was, and she's talking like that. She was completely out of it, and I observed it and studied it for a while, and you know, four-year-olds, they want to run around and grab things and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're a bit crazy, and the child was getting up out of the buggy that the child was sitting in and running around, and the mother couldn't even go after her. She couldn't control her at all. And then about 10 minutes later, when we were both going to the self-service checkout at the same time, I was seeing the mother. The mother was actually struggling to take things out of the basket to put on the... And she was, oh, I'll put this over here and I'll put that over there. And I'm not slagging off, by the way. I'm not slagging the way she's speaking.
You're recounting
I'm
what
just
happened.
Recounting exactly what happened. That's what she was talking like. She was completely out of it. I don't know what drugs. And I said to my missus when we were observing this, I said, what chance...
Does that poor child have?
And we ended up...
That's shocking.
We ended up getting quite upset about it. Because a beautiful, beautiful little four-year-old girl. Absolutely beautiful.
And then what happens is the kids kind of become the carers then. Like, she's small now, but then when she's 8 or 9, then she'll have to end up looking after the mother and making sure the mother isn't losing her stuff. And, oh, it's so sad. That is so, so sad. When you told me about this, I was just...
And guys, the thing about it is...
Devastating.
Is for those of you who are parents, if you have one child, two children, three children, whatever, being a parent is a very, very hard job.
Yeah.
When you are of sound body and mind.
Yeah.
Like, say, for instance, you're not anything, I'm not anything. Being a bloody parent is very hard.
It's very
isn't
hard,
it?
Yeah.
How in God's
it's
name...
It's the hardest but most rewarding job.
Yeah, it is. But how in God's name can someone do that job when they're strung out on drugs?
What would happen if the child became really sick or something?
Yeah,
what would happen to that child? Or if the child started to choke, God forbid, or something like that?
And that's why I had to talk about it on today's podcast, because I couldn't get the image of that little girl in the buggy at the checkout, the self-service checkout, and her mother absolutely strung out. And as well, obviously the daughter's not at the age where she feels shame, so she's not ashamed of her mother. But you could see people looking at her, because she was like, how do I use this? Where do I swipe that thing there? And people were obviously looking, as they do. And I'm thinking, that child is not at that age yet, but she's going to be going to school probably later on this year. She's going to have friends. Are we doing, and this is the question I want to ask you on today's podcast, are we doing enough to protect children from chronic drug users? And I'm thinking, surely there must be, like, we have Tusla.
I remember when I was pregnant, I would have been heavily pregnant with the Tig at the time. So it was seven and a half years ago. And I was in Holles Street National Maternity Hospital waiting to go in to the emergency.
And there was a pregnant junkie.
Oh, no, my God, I'll never forget it. She was about ready to pop, but her and her fella were there obviously waiting to be seen. But she starts banging on the door and he's there shouting through the door, open the door. And it's just like, I just kept thinking of her stomach, thinking, oh my God, like, what kind of future does this child have waiting for him or her? Like, are they going to come out, you know, addicted themselves? Are they going to have to be, you know, weaned off some kind of substance? It's just, it's so, so, so sad. Honestly, it's heartbreaking. And, you know, you'd obviously feel a level of sympathy for the addict as well. You do feel...
No, well, I don't.
You feel a level of sympathy.
No level of sympathy.
I don't believe... I agree. I understand why you feel like that. I do understand that. But it's the child that you feel for the most, because you only get one childhood. And your childhood years are short and they're supposed to be spent enjoying yourself.
And by the way, many people end up fucked up later in life because it's so important that a child has a stable upbringing and, you know, not to be around a fucked up situation. And I'm just thinking that child is around a fucked up situation with a mother that's on drugs.
My concern as well would be that it also normalizes substance abuse for the child in this way of life. So then the child grows up thinking that this is normal, this is the way.
Okay, but say for instance, last night in my house, and by the way, we're not great parents, Jesus, I'm not saying we're great parents, but last night...
Well, you can say you're great. You're not a perfect parent, but you're a good parent.
I'm not
you
bad,
can be a
not
good
bad.
Parent.
But yesterday evening, my wife cooked the dinner for the kids, mm-hmm. I helped one of them with their homework, and then I read them a bedtime story. And I'm thinking to myself, how would that mother be able to do something like that?
That's terrible.
She just couldn't. So that is the question. Are we doing enough to protect children from drug addicts. I want to hear from you. You can send us a WhatsApp if you can't come on. 085-825-2626. 085-825-2626. And what should be done in this situation? If you take this as an example of what I witnessed last night in that supermarket, why is that child in the care of someone who cannot care for the child? Why is that child being left there? Is there no social services to knock at the door and to be able to say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take your child off you until you get clean?
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon.
Now, what do you want to say about this, Brandon?
Is Tusa doing enough to give kids back to parents that do go and change their lives?
Hiya, I'm going to pop you.
Sorry, say that again.
Well, he says, Tusa, like, I know you're on about having a debate on whether it's the state doing enough for kids of drug addicted parents. But yeah, Tusa don't do enough to give the kids back, the parents that have come from drug addiction and have changed their lives.
So do you agree with Tusa taking children away from drug addicted parents?
In some cases I do, but in some cases they don't.
No, but in what case can a drug addict be a responsible and caring parent?
I can only share my experience. Right? My experience was I wasn't capable of looking after my children.
And what drugs were you on?
I was on all sorts of drugs. I'm not going to name one particular drug. I took all the drugs.
Okay, and was this when you were a father, when you had your young children?
Yes.
Okay, how many children do you have?
I have six.
Six children. Wow. Okay. And when you were on drugs, I presume you're talking about, you don't want to mention drugs, I presume you're talking about hard drugs. You're not just talking about cannabis, are you?
I'm talking about every drug.
Every drug.
Who's this, Jeremy or Adrian?
It's Jeremy, yeah.
Jeremy, I was on every drug. Every drug that's on the market I was on.
And how were you able to parent while you were on those drugs?
I wasn't.
Okay, well that seems
fair. I didn't parent, and that's when your kids went into care.
And how long did they go into care for?
Well, they're in care since 2016.
Oh, well, and are you...
I changed my life 3.5 years ago. I haven't touched your substance in 3.5 years.
So you're completely clean?
Completely clean of drugs and alcohol.
And let's just rewind back to, because I don't know how this obviously works. Does someone report a parent when they are suffering with substance abuse? Like, how did your children end up in care due to your substance abuse? Who finds out about that? How does it get to the attention of...
So my story went was, my eldest daughter, I think, reached out. Yeah, she couldn't put up with it. I think she was 12 at the time. And two social workers got involved. And family stood in and took them. And eventually, family couldn't keep up with keeping my children. So the children went into state care. And eventually, we got worse and worse. I got worse and worse. I was only speaking to myself. I got worse and worse. And that when the kids were gone, and eventually I went and changed my life, and the kids were still in the system. Now that I managed to turn my life around, I've got a stable employment for the last 2 years. I've got my own home. I moved into a couple of weeks ago. One of my daughters, who's 19, she's out of the system, has moved back in with me.
That's brilliant.
I've another daughter who's 16, who was in a foster place. And a foster family in Westwood who wants to come home. We fought for the last 2 years. And Tuesday told me that when my housing circumstances change, that they will look at that then. And they've just kept putting obstacles and obstacles and obstacles anyway.
And to prove that, I mean, I'm just taking your word for it. By the way, I think it's brilliant. Anybody who's addicted to drugs who comes clean and gets their act together, like you seem to have, Brendan, fair play to you. I think that is absolutely brilliant. Do Tusa look for, would they be looking for evidence? Would they be looking for drug tests? As in, how can you prove that you haven't touched?
So when I changed my life 3.5 years ago, I went and I contacted Tusa and they took urine. Yeah?
Yeah, they took a urine test, yeah.
They took, I gave urine consistently for 8 months. Then that stopped. They didn't look for them. Then last year, they started looking for them again. And during the year, we were looking to start giving them. Being honest with you, Jeremy, I was looking because I don't need to prove myself to them. Yeah?
Yep.
And I was looking, and now that they're coming back, now that I'm fighting now, I predicted 18 months ago that if Tusa didn't start giving my child up to Dublin, I'd give them an overnight that she'd run away. She ran away from the foster home last September when I was in Tenerife, I was on a holiday, and I predicted this. And I went into court, and Tusa stood outside court and said, if you don't convince her to go back, not in these words, but this is the words that I took out. If you don't convince her to go back down to the foster home, she will eventually be put into a home. So she's with a foster family, yeah?
I'm listening to you.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm listening to you.
She's with a foster family. She's with a foster family in Wexford, where our eldest brother, right? He was younger than her, actually. And they told me that if I didn't convince the child to go back to the foster family, that she'd be put into a home. But the cherry on the cake was, we'll allow her to come up to you 2 weekends of the month if you convince her to go back down to the family home, the foster home, foster mm-hmm. family. So I had to go and engage in that conversation, and she reluctantly agreed.
That's tough.
I went into court, and my solicitor stood up and said, we reluctantly agreed to this. And now that my circumstances have completely changed around housing, I'm looking to get her back full time by September.
And you, obviously believe that you are in a position now where you can be a full-time carer for your children, whereas when you were, and that's what this discussion is about, when you were in the height of it, on drugs, like that woman last night in the supermarket, there's no way you could have been a good father for those children, is there?
Not a chance. And I'm fairly open and I'm fairly honest about that. There's not a chance I could step up and nurture and give them kids the nurture and the love that they deserve. I couldn't do it.
And you know what, Brendan? That is really, really big of you to say, and I'm not being condescending, by the way, isn't it, Katie? It's so big of him to be able to say that, to admit.
And to turn his life around the way he has. I mean, that's so commendable.
First of all, to turn your life around. And then
to talk about it so openly.
But then to admit as well.
I've no problem saying it, Jeremy. I couldn't do it. I just could not do it. I couldn't function without drugs. I couldn't give the kids the love that they need. I was so...
Of course,
I'm desperate getting drugs more than providing for my children, and that's the way it was for me, and that's my experience.
And that's exactly what I witnessed with that. Stay there for a second, Brendan, because that's exactly what I witnessed with that mother last night. So you're hearing this from the horse's mouth there. Someone who was a drug addict saying out of his own mouth that he wouldn't have been able to look after those kids being on drugs. And I have to say, that is not a lovely story of how you can turn your life around. It really is.
Yeah.
Stay there for a second, Brendan. Let me go to Lindsay now. Lindsay, how are you?
Hi there, sorry, excuse me.
That's okay. Now, what do you want to say on this?
Yes, I just wanted to sort of add my sort of like two cents really regarding just general parenting culture that I sort of experienced, particularly as a sort of assistant social worker when I was with Manchester City Council about 10 years ago now. And it was like, it just is quite, you know, it's culture sort of resistance and mistrust of like services. And also, like, you know, extended family not being as involved as they were decades ago in family life. I think one of the things that I put in the message that when he texts me in a message back, I'm very much a believer in the saying, you know, I mean, it takes a village to raise a child. And I think we've lost a lot of that now. And hence the point of generally making in the Facebook comment that, you know, it's got to the point, it has to get really serious before people step in.
And sorry, when you worked as a social worker in the UK, I assume you came across this a lot, children being raised by drug addicted parents.
Some of them, yes.
How extreme does the drug taking have to be before social services get involved and say, here, listen, this child needs to be taken off you?
In one of the cases I dealt with, it got to the point where I had to make a 999 call because... actually visited this lady and she was like just so out of it that I had to ring the police on the spot because she had like this toddler that she was both looking after and she was like just not with it at all.
So you went into this house, what age was the child?
About 5-6 years old.
So 6 years
old, in the zone pretty much, yeah.
6 year old child in the house, and the mother, what substance was she on?
To be honest, I never found out, but she was just not with it. I think probably alcohol and maybe cannabis as well. Yeah, she just wasn't with it.
And what condition was the house in? What condition was the child in, more importantly?
I've seen worse, but the house, the condition, this is it, you know what I mean? You have to sort of look at everything when you do this kind of work. Sometimes, you know what I mean, the condition of the house can actually be like disguising what the true issues that are going on. You have to look at everything.
Was the child being neglected?
It wasn't being properly supervised. It was a flat with a balcony and the patio doors were open and it was really quite a scary situation. She wasn't responding appropriately to my words and questions about what was going on.
So at that point, you ring 999, the child gets taken into care.
The police did it basically like it's an emergency welfare visit, doing an assessment from there because I wasn't actually a qualified social worker myself. It was what's called Family Intervention Project. It was like an assistant social worker. So the actual social worker would have gone in to do a safety assessment there and then, and I found another child was taken into care shortly afterwards.
Okay, so I don't know how much you know about the Irish system, but you heard my story about the woman in the shopping centre, strung out on drugs last night, not able to even put the shopping into the shopping bag, and she has a four-year-old child in the buggy there. Why, from your understanding of how this system works, why is that mother still being left alone to care for that child when she's strung out on drugs?
I think people that don't really know the parents are just so scared to intervene. It's like, you know, I think this general culture of like, you know what I mean, don't tell me how to bring up my own children. And that was like quite a serious barrier when I was working with these so-called trouble families back in 2013.
So nobody, in the case that I'm talking about, you don't think anybody has intervened, no family member?
Well, I don't, obviously, I'm not familiar with the exact situation of this lady, but I'm talking about the general sort of like the societal issues around, I mean, parents sort of, it's as if like they're having to sort of do, they feel like they've got to do everything themselves, and it's like it's shameful, and you know what I mean? And it's like there's a stigma around seeking support and getting it with only family involved.
Oh, because I can, you're right. I can imagine, Katie, had I said to that woman, no, it's none of my business. I said to her in the supermarket last night, you're not of any fit state to mind that. Can you imagine what she would have said?
I know. You'd have been told where to go.
Can you imagine the reaction?
And then the poor child would have been left looking at a situation unfold where there's a, you know, an altercation then in the middle of a shop.
Here's Jess.
Addict parents are the most selfish parents in the world. I don't care. Like, you think, like, if you have a child, this is meant to be your pride and joy, your number one priority, that you would get off whatever addiction you have. But they don't. Majority of them don't. And it's fucking disgusting because there's people out there who can't have kids for whatever reason. And the fact that these people are there to actually procreate is actually fucking disgusting because they don't give a shit about their kids. They don't give a shit about themselves. I wouldn't trust these people to look after a fucking daisy or a goldfish, never mind an actual child.
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter with Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon.
How are you, Stephanie?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Good. What do you make of this? Drug addict parents, is the state doing enough to protect children? Because we're all about the protection of children. Is the state doing enough to protect them?
Well, I'm a big advocate for safeguarding children, and the problem I see with addiction is, one, there's not enough services to help people with rehabilitation, but two, we have bystanders. What I mean by that is family, friends and you know, your local community will just kind of walk by. They won't intervene, they won't report it, and that's where the problem starts. Like, I grew up in care, so I think 2002, I was put in full-term care. So I dealt with
can I ask why, by the way?
It was voluntary. So my parents had their own struggles. Now, it wasn't nothing to do with drugs or anything, but I think their relationship was kind of breaking down. Things weren't going well and they needed assistance. So, you know, you can cope with that. But then, you know, 20 odd years of dealing with them, I've met with Tusla several times regarding safeguarding. And it's for all different reasons, drug use, it could be about abuse and things like that. And one thing we've seen is recently, the cases recently with the two young boys and stuff, Tusa should have followed up and they didn't, and they didn't stay in contact with the families. And that's where we let them down. But at the same time, the community let them down as well. No one reported, you know, these boys were missing. No one reported not seeing them. You know what I mean? So Tusa can only do so much.
Of course,
and I'll be the first to slam them.
And do you think sorry for cutting across you, in this situation of the woman that I saw last night, do you think that the neighbours, because obviously people would live beside this woman, they see the woman strung out every day with the four-year-old child, do you think they're just not getting involved and not bothering to report it?
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly where the problem, I suppose, stays silent would be the way to put it. Like, Tusla can only do so much, and without a child, say, in school, because we all know schools alert Tusla as well, without a child in school, like, it's kind of down to the rest of us as family, friends and community to be vigilant and watch out for other kids in the community. And we're not doing that. And that's why a lot of this is going on behind closed doors. So your incident, I suppose, what happened? You seen her and she was struggling to put shopping in the bag?
Well, it wasn't only that. She was walking up and down the aisle. She couldn't even string a sentence together with the daughter. She couldn't go after her when the daughter got up out of the buggy to run around. She was literally, she was literally like, and no disrespect to her, she was like a zombie. Literally like a zombie. Mm. Like how...
And was there no staff member that seen that? Of the shop?
But how, a staff member is not... Are they cases? Is the staff member
going to get... Staff member's not going to get involved. They're not. Like, it's not up to the staff member either. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's up to all of us, I think, when there's a child safety and welfare. But I don't think a staff member is really, realistically going to do anything. And particularly because I'd say they see a lot of it.
It can escalate. It can get hostile, so I understand that.
But what would you have said had you rang the Gardaí last night?
I just would have said I have a, I'm out in town or wherever, say it's a McDonald's or something, and I have a welfare concern that there's an adult here and she seems to be under some form of substance abuse or influence. She has a child with her and she doesn't seem capable of managing to care for the child right now, and I have concern around the welfare of the child right now and someone needs to come.
And have you done that before or would you do it if
I
you...
I have.
So you have done it before?
I have. I've put in reports to Tuchla over abusive neighbours. Yes, I have.
So give me one example. Was this a neighbour or was it a stranger you saw in the shop or something like that?
It was a neighbour. I was 16 and I seen it happening and I knew it was happening and...
So you saw what happening exactly?
It was physical. It was physical abuse. And I mean physical. It wasn't like a little tap on the hand discipline. It was... proper bait in the back of the daughter in the front yard.
Jesus.
And I did call Tuchla and about a week later social workers were on the doorstep.
So you took a week for somebody to come out? And this
took a week.
Were you're saying this child, I presume it was the parents, were beating this child black and blue, were they?
Well, she bit the back off her.
Jesus.
I was 16 when I made that call.
I have to say, fair play to you, first of all, being so brave. There's not many 16-year-olds would think of doing that, is there, Katie?
No.
And
no.
Where was this happening? Out the garden or something? How did you see this happening?
I was in my bedroom window and I heard commotion outside and I looked down and she was in the front yard doing that with her daughter.
Was she using a weapon or was she doing it with her hand?
No, bare her hand.
And literally walloping the back off her?
Literally walloped the back off her.
And presumably the child was very distressed.
She was crying and stuff. Now, I'm not sure if she was marked or anything. I didn't, like, they can't tell me that detail, not just because I'm 16, but when you make a report, TUSA don't necessarily contact you back and say, oh, the child's in care now.
No, there's no obligation on them to tell you. So it took a week for the child services to get to the house, which is crazy. That child could have been dead. Child could have been killed. And the child was taken into care. Was the child brought back to the parent at any stage? Do you know?
Oh, no, she wasn't taken into care. We have a shortage of foster placements and a shortage of social workers. So a lot of them could end up in a residential home, which isn't ideal. But normally what they do is they'll come out and they'll observe and you're going to have social workers calling in now your house. They can either book an appointment with you or they can show up just randomly, but they will be supervising. I think it could be 6 weeks is majority of what they go for. And if they want to, they will, you know, they can put you on a parenting course and things like that. But they will be checking in and they'll check what's going on in the home.
I just think that's so sad what you witnessed. Isn't it, Katie? It's really,
that's
really
horrific.
Sad that what that
horrific.
Child was put through.
But thankfully you did something about it because there's probably plenty of people who would see it and say nothing.
I don't know, would you? If you saw a child being beaten?
Oh, God,
you would ring.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think you wouldn't.
You child, like, who turns a blind eye to child abuse?
Opinions Matter. Opinions Matter. With Adrian Kennedy and Jeremy Dixon. A daily podcast from Ireland about opinions.
Now, Alan, what do you want to say about this?
Really quickly, I just wanted to say, like, you know, there's no mother in this country that doesn't love that child, especially, you know, and if the women are addicted to drugs in this city and across the country, the huge lack of services for these people is incredible. And it's been cut back and cut back and cut back over many, many years. Now, obviously, nobody, not really mine, but wanted to see a child in the care of somebody who's you know, in the throes of having taken drugs.
100%, yeah.
That goes without saying. No, there's nobody. But in this country, you know, most people sit back and look at it all. And, you know, it's not about taking the child, the first instance, taking the child off the mother. It's about providing services for people who are caught up in the drugs world.
No, but surely, Alan, say for instance, with the example that I gave from last night, surely the priority should be taking the child away from the mother, no?
Well, absolutely. But if the child is in immediate danger, absolutely, there's no question about that. And, you know, this is all ordinary stuff. If the child is in immediate danger, but the bigger picture, that doesn't cure the bigger picture that's going to happen again tomorrow and this tomorrow evening. Now, I was on O'Connell Street. I'm from North Inner City University myself. And I was on O'Connell Street many times, standing there watching guards, looking at kids, being dragged along in the rain and the hailstones and the rain. And I've seen it all over many, many years. And this is not to blame the guards. What are they supposed to do with a child at 11:30 or 10 o'clock at night? There's no services. You know, we've watched in this country kids with scoliosis, for instance, riding around in agony for years and years and years. And that's the same issue. Where the parents are trying to look after their kids and the state fails them. The state has failed many, many kids over many years. And I also think that, you know, we have a huge amount of people now shouting around the country about protect their women, protect their children. I mean, what are these people going to do? The government of this country, and over there for many years, and it's a kind of, you know, your brick wall, so is it? Because the drugs element has been totally ignored. The drugs war is lost in this country, in my opinion, obviously. The drugs war is lost. You know, Gardaí season, bits of drugs here and everywhere, and everybody knows the country's awash with cocaine and heroin and all sorts of other drugs. And the drugs war has failed. And the net result of it is like everything else. You get victims, and then those children belong to the victims of the drugs element. Now, as I said before, nobody wants to see a kid in danger. Absolutely not. And you know, but the services are simply not there to take. We can't even give kids who are given, who need emergency operations. There's thousands waiting on waiting.
No, this is, you know, you're right, the services aren't there. And what's scary to think is that mother from last night is at home in the house now at the moment. The child is probably on the way home from school. And what sort of care is that child going to get? Is that child going to get a nutritious dinner? Is the child going to get put to bed properly? Is the child being washed properly?
Well, and you know, and I know the answer to that question. It's very, very unlikely if the mother is in the throes of a very serious addiction. All that is very, very unlikely.
So I should have rang the guards last night, really, shouldn't I?
Well, if you ring the guards, you can ring the guards. They're completely overwhelmed, in any scenario, trying to deal with hundreds of kids belonging to drug addicts who are, you know, in danger because somebody's seen them doing X, Y, and Z. You know, and the guards will take the kid. What are the guards supposed to do?
You know, I don't know what I don't know what the guards would have done had they turned up at that.
Bring the child to the police station. Bring it to some residential. There's no residential place. There's no residential care. There's no even places for kids in hospitals. That's the point I'm making. You know, when you start at a level, we provide health care for children, okay? We can't do that. This country cannot do that.
And you're right, that child would be more traumatic probably for the child to be taken into a police station. Stay there for a second, please, Alan. Let me go to John. How are you, John?
How you doing, Jeremy? How you doing, Katie?
Good. Do you think I should have called the police last night? It's something I didn't even think of, to be honest with you.
No, sure. I've seen it thousands of times as well. There's no point in me, you know, stopping out every time, you know. But Alan got there before me, and actually, fair play to Brandon. I want to say that. What a man, you know, for turning his life around. Look, here's the thing, guys, and I've said this just before, and I'm going through it with my own family member. Prevention is better than cure, you know, at the end of the day. And look, I've said this thousands of times on this show, that there's not enough services. There's not enough going on in the background, you know, of helping people that are
sorry for stopping there. You said a few minutes ago you've seen this lots of times and you've never reported it yourself.
But should I be fucking standing there all day, Jeremy? What do you want me to do? What would you like me to do? You want me to walk through town and ring, you know, the Gardaí every time I see somebody that's on drugs with a child? You know, if Alan's only telling you, you're not listening to Alan, no.
Yeah, no,
Alan's
I was listening to
the same thing. And I'm telling you the same thing. You know, what are they going to do? You see, as I'm saying to you already, we need more services. We need more, you know, resources. And I've said this, as I said to you 10,000 times, and I'm going to say it again. The government aren't doing enough for people that are on drugs. And they haven't been doing enough. And we need a lot more money allocated for people that are on substance abuses in this country. We need a lot more drug centres. We need a lot more rehabilitation centres. People are even going to the UK to get rehabilitated. And I know people that are over in the UK at the moment. And fair play to them. They're trying to turn their lives around. But what I'm saying is, it is not enough being done. Prevention is better than cure. If you want to break up a family, and I'm going to say this, okay, just say a scenario that you're talking about there. Take the kids away from the mother and father, okay? Yep. Then the mother and father lose the home, okay? So the kids are gone into care. By the way, TOSLA should have been dissolved a long time ago. They're a shower of folks, you know, they're not capable of doing the services that they're doing. We all know that. We've seen them all over the news. So that's probably be another day's topic. But what I'll say this, so we dissolve the family home, okay, and take the kids away from the family. They go homeless, i.e. the mother and father. The kids are gone into foster care. We heard what fucking happened to Brendan. He's torn his whole life around. He's trying to get his kids fucking back.
Yeah, but again, I will say, and I'm not doubting Brendan's story, but you only have one side of the story. You have to be very conscious of that.
I'm hearing this up and down the breadth of the country.
Yeah, but as regards Brendan's story, we're hearing one side of the story.
No, we're even leaving Brendan aside. But what I'm telling you, this is the truth. This is the truth.
Okay, Jess, straight away there. A junkie isn't capable of being a parent, John, you absolute moron.
What's that?
Jess just said there, a junkie isn't capable of being a parent, John.
There's no such thing as junkies. And I heard what Jess said. You know, the thing about it is, Jess, you know, look, she's immature, I get it. You know, so we take everybody away that's a substance abuse in the urine of her and take all the kids away. Where the fuck are we going to put them, Jess? Where are we going to house these kids? On a system that's already failed, i.e. TOSLA, and we all know that they've been before the courts about what happens over there in the apartments the north side.
Yeah, but hang on, those children, a lot of those children who are in the care of drug addicts are in danger. They are in danger.
And on what? From going from bad to worse, you know? From going from bad to worse, Jeremy, you see, this is what my point is. We need a state body, we need a proper state body, we need proper services, we need proper money going into the system. We need, again, prevention is better than cure, as I say. I'd rather help that woman, see that woman there you're seeing last night? I'd rather help her through a drug system, you know, that's being, you know, in our area, and get her onto the right track, and get her onto the right road. Not taking our kids off her and leaving her at home and everything else, that's not the right fucking road to go down. And it wasn't, and it never will be. You know, what would she do again?
So leave children in the care of people who weren't able to look after them.
What I'm basically saying is help the people. Help these people. This is what I'm saying. These people need help. The help is that you go and you see them and whoever they are, their families, get them help. You know, I've done it with mine. That's why I'm talking about experience-wise. I can talk about this all day fucking long if you want. I've helped my brother along through this bullshit. And I tell you what, we got him there in the end.
I know he's turned his life around.
This is what I'm talking about, and it can be done, and Brendan as well. It can be done. Everybody can do this.
Yeah, but
from the right channels and the right help.
Yes, it can be done, but it takes time. Somebody just doesn't wake up on a Monday morning and they're no longer a drug addict. Like, that takes time. And
somebody doesn't just wake up and want to be a drug addict either. You know what
I'm saying? In the meantime, while someone is trying to come off drugs, that child still needs to be looked after by that parent.
And I couldn't agree with you more. The fact of the matter is, Jeremy, what I'm saying is,
how is someone who's strung out able to look after a child?
Again, this is what I'm saying. The system has to be put in place, not to fail these people, not to take, you know, they have to come in on this, Jeremy. There's so many ways of dealing with this. You know, there has to be outside support programs being built in. There has to be, you know, there has to be everything involved. There's money has to be put into this, you know.
The government puts millions and millions into fighting.
They're not putting enough in.
Just keep putting more money in. John, I'm sorry for cutting across you, but I'm way out of time. Like, what do you make of that? Leave the kid
can't. The child has to. What has to be done is what's best for the child, and what's best for the child is being in a stable environment.
And that's what it is.
And that's,
is it?
Yeah.
And there's lots of good foster homes. People think that putting a child in a foster home is terrible. I have friends who are foster parents, and they're the best people that you could ever meet. And they have given so many children decent homes while the parents get off the drugs. Just take the children away until they get. That's a great excuse for getting off drugs, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get your kids back. Anyway, thank you very much for all your calls, comments, and texts on that topic. And someone said, and that's a topic for another day, somebody just messaged in to say that drug addiction is a disease. When you say that, a lot of people get annoyed as well.
Cancer is a disease.
Yeah, cancer is a disease. Anyway, we might come back to that at a later stage. Don't forget, if you want to subscribe to our podcast, just click the green bell on Spotify or Apple and you'll be notified every time a new episode of Opinions Matter is uploaded. We'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.